Hiya girls, we are Barney and Lukey and we are the hot young visionaries behind Truffle Pig Wigs.
And this is Cliffhangers, the unofficial, unrequested and unhinged RuPaul's Drag Race recap show.
The views and opinions expressed on Cliffhangers are from a couple of women who just love drag and have zero real business judging it. If you are not a fan of red hot acidic critique, turn back now.
Let me present to you the gerbil up my rectum is Barney.
Hello. And tonight, for your consideration, we have human proof that for some people, it doesn't get better. It's Lukey. How are you doing today, Lukey?
I'm all right. Fresh from watching season 13, ready to forget all of that.
You've been double daving, haven't you?
I know, it's a bit much.
But this is straight after the shocking departure of Astina. How do you feel?
Weirdly, not that bad.
Absolutely fine, actually.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Ginny entering back into the workroom a la Janet Jackson with just the one breast out? Did you notice that?
Icons only.
Did you notice that?
I did not, no.
Icons supporting icons.
I look into women's
usual.
Eyes.
Wow. My first note is Uhura. She will write on her tombstone Baroness Basic if she has her way, won't she?
But Tia obviously doesn't give a shit because she feels like she can do anything now, fresh off that win.
Well, she said, I'm a performer.
Make of that what you will, Steve.
Insert rattlesnake here.
Very interesting, this beef between Ginny and Lawrence, which I thought was just a bit of like
bit of flirty banter.
But it seems like there is actually some real irritants there.
Ginny was pressed. She was hot.
But remember in episode one when she was like, you're jealous of Astina, you're scared of her because she's pure talent. So we know that Ginny is an Astina stan, so she's already going to be coming into this feeling a little bit
pressed. Oh, for sure, for sure.
Ginny.
I dream of Ginny as clearly good friends of Astina because she's really been riding hard for her since day one.
Yeah.
So, but love, absolutely.
So it's a new day in the workroom.
Yes, indeed. So then they're all around the table. And were you surprised at Madame Taste? I felt like she was very diplomatic, but the thing that absolutely killed me is, did you see that Tia's hands were on Taste's shoulders? And then just straight away she took them off. She was like, oh, fuck, I'm going down. That absolutely cracked me up. But I felt like Taste kind of gave it to Tia, no?
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one, especially since Tia was there giving her, you know, like, it's just a lovely bit of moral support on the shoulders there. And it's Astina had more to give, and you, and yeah, just like.
And I love that Tia was like, actually, Michelle called me basic once, and then he was like, no. Actually, everyone in this room agrees that you're basic, you're just like reeled off this list about like, actually, no, everyone thinks you're garbage.
I thought it was quite a good thing that Veronica said when she was like, you think she looks basic, but you need to look a little deeper. And so, I mean, fair fucks, that is
true. She ain't gonna fuck you, calm down. Like, she literally, like, Veronica going so hard for her. So I personally feel like that whole like, oh, Taste is too cool for school. She's clearly bothered because she knows that Taste is A, beautiful, and also that she's like contemporary.
Mm.
And Veronica is really just serving you like cruise ship drag.
For sure.
And I feel like that, I thought that was really transparent, that bit. I do completely understand it's not all about the look, but don't tear another queen down to make a point. That's what I thought. She didn't really tear down a queen at all. I just don't really like her.
I thought it was funny when Uhura, like, even trying to be nice, like, no, you've really improved. Like, even that just still comes off as, like,
so condescending.
Cunt.
Yeah, absolutely love that. She's sort of like, no, honestly, babe, like, you have really improved. I was glad that Tia was like, I don't care if she thinks I've improved. Because, yeah, that was, I really like that as well.
So this week, the mini challenge is the Great British Fake Off. My first thought was like, fuck, I need to get all of those cakes in me right now.
Yeah,
like, my mouth was drooling. I hadn't had my dinner yet. But I don't really understand what... Either I didn't understand the challenge or they didn't understand the challenge.
I don't think anyone
challenge.
Understood the challenge. I don't think there was much of a challenge within this challenge.
No, I thought it was meant to be a kind of sell it in a sexy Nigella way. Like, only Bimini was the only one who kind of put on like a sort of a voice for cakes.
I really... Oh, that was very sensual. I really didn't think that... Many of them were very good at this, which is what made it so fantastic. I just thought, actually, it's so much better. There's something about the British Drag Race, so much better when they're just kind of a bit shit at it, like with all the acting challenges and stuff. It makes it so much more entertaining.
It would just be helpful, though, for the gals if when like
they were
given,
in quick drag,
or just like when given the challenge that someone had actually like written it properly or thought of it for more than a second. I'll get into more of that about me production gripes.
Oh, you heard it here first. I just thought it was like really not very funny at all, which was cracking me up.
Well, yeah,
like,
the only one that made me kind of a half smile was the Brexit with Bimini.
You didn't laugh with Lawrence?
No.
You just...
I don't think I ever have.
I thought he was very funny and he was really cracking the whole room up. I thought he was I thought he was going to win. I really liked Ellie Diamond, basically just like, it was like she was a malfunctioning robot. She was just like, very sexy. Just like saying all these like weird like catchphrases that she thought might work that weren't really stringed well together.
Like drag
Tourette's. Yeah, it was all very strange taglines, but I was very into it.
Will you be calling your chocolate starfish a bumhole Bic Bic from now on?
I'm going to have to ask your dad about that one. Veronica serving you, the first openly boring Drag Race contestant. She really don't give a fuck. She's not even trying to be interesting at this point. Really, just... I just thought it was so weird, but not like in a, oh my God, like a blue hydrangea, like this girl is clearly unwell, weird. Like... It was just like so weird, but so boring.
This is like V manic. Yeah. Not was, with any sort of.
I was trying
power
to do like alliteration
it.
And stuff. It was like, I'm going to need to put you on ice for a second because this ain't it.
Sidebar, I'd like to mention as well that the kind of fondness I felt for her from my first initial reminiscence of Miss Cracker has now gone away. Now she's.
Quickly dissipated.
Yeah. I think by episode one. So just want you to know I'm not feeling biased
not crushing,
towards her.
Not crushing.
No, not crushing.
And Bimini has always given you a moral, a message, a fable, always just something to say. Very, she seems like a very smart queen.
Of the moment.
Very, very contemporary. and I'm glad she won because I did think that Lawrence was funny, but Bimini's was smart.
To me, I just thought like everyone else was...
dog shit.
Yeah, and Bimini was like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, it was very Tia winning over Estina. It was like, I guess someone's got to win. Yeah. And then for the main challenge, we had the morning daytime chat show, which I really love whenever they do, because it's just absolutely deranged. They always try and stuff such weird things into it. I can tell by your eyes and the fire and venom that you did not feel the same.
Just, okay, so I'll get to me gripes.
Here we go.
So all of the kind of genres of people... kind of made sense on a TV show. You've got the host, agony aunt, sort of Essex girls doing money. Was there another one? Whatever. But what there ain't is like Camden Goths giving you party advice. Like, I don't know in what like realm anyone would expect that to be good.
The representation of goths on is absolutely unbearable.
And then my other thing as well.
Tell us your other thing.
No one else had to deal with the kind of shenanigans that they were throwing at Ginny Lemon. Like, everyone else just got to do their thing. Like, you're like throwing shit at her and you're expecting her to hold it together. So yeah, I just felt like sister Veronica and Ginny just already at an unfair advantage before anything had even happened.
Again, oh, I'll just take what's left. Like, when has that ever worked out for anyone? Like, unless you are literally at the forefront of the competition, and then you would still be like, okay, I'm still going to try and go for the best thing because I want to win this. Like, I just can't stand this like faux sort of like,
Well, I think, no,
I'll just take the scraps because I'm so good.
Well, yeah, I don't think it was like that. It was just, she was kind of like, I can do anything. So whatever's left.
Turns out.
But what I thought was weird is like, wasn't sister also very quiet at the doling out of rats as well? It's like, you can't just sit around and wait for the last roll. Because look what happens.
True, true, true. And then on the walk around, we have RuPaul Charles himself come round and he is talking to everyone. I love that whenever they find out their parts, they always go straight to the wigs as if that's the important part. It's like the first thing was that Veronica Green putting on that, what I imagine she thought was a like a Betty Page fringe wig. I don't know. It was black, so therefore goth.
I mean, them's is the rules, to be fair. I just couldn't believe that they said the word gothy so much. And with no shout out to the UK's pork chop Ms. Gothy Kendall. How dare you?
I've got a question that needs answering. Why was Ginny Australian?
Like what? Be confusing. We'll never understand that.
I don't know. Maybe are there hippies in Australia? I thought she was South African at first.
See, I think again. Did you love her yellow crimp, which was very reminiscent of the first crimp that we ever sold that had no shape, no texture?
Well, yeah, it gave me PTSD.
I put sister is so analytical and I think that will be her downfall. I feel like she can't just let go and have fun, which
so maybe she is the cracker.
No, because Cracker had fun on the runway. Cracker had fun, like it's very self flagellating.
Seeing Ginny and Veronica both very optimistic about the improv is just sort of big mistake. Huge. Like never ever be confident in anything if you don't want it to like slap you in the face.
It's not even about being confident, I don't think. It's just like don't feel cocksure. I think that's the big mistake of just being like, no, do you know what, I'm at, this is something I really excel at. It's like, not in these parameters and not with that writing, honey. I was absolutely obsessed with this entire sort of 45 second segment between Ellie and Rue. It was so fantastic. I don't know what she was trying to achieve by it, but that weren't it.
I called it, is there something on my face 2.0?
Yeah, exactly.
I think, yeah, we all knew what she was trying to say. It's like, yeah, we get it. You're obsessed with Lawrence, but I'm Scottish too. So have fun with my name, let's just be biased.
But Rue gave a very nuanced, complex, queer elder read and was like, having seen what you've done in the competition, I think you need to make people more interested in you. Yeah. Basically being like, ish, because you're boring. It's
if you're actually like, going to speak without being spoken, I'll fucking put you in your place.
And I just love as well that up until that point, Ellie just looks so terrified. Like, she always seems very scared when Rue comes over. And I just thought it was, that whole moment was absolutely fantastic. Ellie Diamond really hitting me with all of my favourite strange moments in this competition.
So get it, so
it. And another cracking shot at Ahura trying to be nice. Just a good chance to get to know her and find out why she's so basic.
Yeah.
She can't help herself.
I put that Tia really seemed like they were working overtime with Rue, and I found it a bit exhausting. I found that she was a bit like trying to
teacher's pet kind of thing.
Yeah, just felt like it felt a bit forced. And because she, we do look to her to, like, for the comic relief, I do think that she's funny. I just thought that, chill out, girl. Like, you are funny. You're always cracking us up in the interviews. So I just thought when Rue came over, I was like, I hope Rue doesn't think that she's actually, that it kind of erases how Rue feels about her and goes, oh, she's a bit beggy.
Mm.
They rely so heavily on Essex tropes, isn't it? It's just, I absolutely love it on this program.
Maybe it's because that's something that the rest of the world can understand.
Sure, sure. I suppose TOWIE maybe is global at this point.
Bloody should be.
Shout out to Amy Childs.
Oh, babe, give me a kiss.
We as well, we, when we are wigging, have TOWIE on probably for about 8 hours a day. So we're in this world, we're living it.
And listen, highbrow art is highbrow art. Argue with your mum. And then we head into the studio for the filming of Morning Glory with the queen of daytime TV, question mark.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
You better put some respect on Alison Hammond's name.
Even Holly Willoughby.
Lorraine Kelly.
Honestly.
Jesus Christ, what was Bruce Forsyth busy?
But Jodie's got to go home.
Is Bruce Forsyth dead?
I don't know.
Because he definitely is busy. Literally, like, oh my, is that the best they could find? Lorraine Kelly. I'm sorry, when she, her opening line of being like, I would see a glory hole, but that would be bad. It's like, oh, honey. No laughter. That was so embarrassing.
Yeah. Zero idea on where they plucked her from, or like,
and her link to drag, her link to contemporary culture, her,
like Philip Schofield literally came out as a gay recently.
Alison Hammond,
a gay.
Oh, you mean the gays?
Alison Hammond is a walking meme. Like, 90% of British memes are about Alison. Like, at least, like, I'm willing to bet there's people that don't even know who Lorraine Kelly is. Like,
yeah,
I don't know anything about her. I'd never watch morning TV. Like, it just seems way off piste for me. So how do you think you'd do on live television? I think you'd be absolutely fantastic for breakfast TV.
I think I'd be all right. I don't understand when people ever get have problems with the teleprompter, because I always think I would be good at that.
How was it an improv challenge with a teleprompter and they were showing that their lines are up there?
I guess they just had to deliver those words, but then improv the like weird like slut shot thing.
I guess maybe that was the first time that they were seeing the lines.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. But just strange that they had a script for an improv challenge. But I guess, what did you think of Bimini and Tace?
I thought Bimini looked so cute.
So soft.
Lovely little nose highlight on the gal.
And just the face was very, she looked very like the female gremlin. Just very soft and delicate.
I just felt a bit weird, though, that it's meant to be morning TV, but yet they're kind of, like the other one called like Good Morning Bitches. It's like, is this a daytime TV thing or are we just...
Breakfast TV, I believe.
Oh, even worse then.
It was a bit too adult for you.
Well, yeah, it's just like, what is the premise? Like, what are the...
Just some girls having a lovely time.
Parameters for this challenge. Like, if they say that Ginny does bad because she doesn't get the weather out, but yet they're not acting like how a TV host
I mean, there was some
the
very, very confusing... very confusing parameters of who was doing their job well and who was not. Very. I absolutely screamed when Taste was like Willem Schofield. It was like, he is a new member to our team, like, and you can't even be bothered to get. How does as a queer elder, how does he, you think that make him feel?
A quelder.
A quelder. We need to address the elephant in the room.
Why Ellie Diamond was dressed like a haunted doll.
Very Annabelle. That was not the... It was just that was an insult to goss around the world and I was not here for it. And also as well, like, I'm sorry to say this again, but like, Veronica, how can you be unfunny and also boring? Like, pick a struggle. You can't be both. Like,
I kind of got what she was going for with the kind of like, just like, ugh.
The nonchalant.
Everything sucks. Like, whatever. What am I doing here? Like, ugh.
But like,
still.
You're in drag in a daytime TV show. Like, I never understand.
Well, that's why I don't want to blame the gals too much. Because, like, what the hell did they expect these girls
it was improv.
To do? But still, it's like, how are you going to improv a Camden, I'm doing inverted commas, Camden goth on a breakfast TV show telling you about a birthday party? That there was never going to be a winner here.
Okay, I hate to give such an obvious reference for goth, but think about how Sharon Needles would have done that. Not that we support Sharon Needles because they are deeply problematic. But that when they did that infomercial challenge and they and Fifi was like, be goth, they were high energy. They were full of character. They like they didn't just like, it's such a lame and obvious choice to be like, we're goths. We're going to speak like this. Like, bring comedy to it. Bring literally anything to it. It was just so, I thought it was so poor.
Now just feeling very triggered about Fifi and her very outrageous chola look. Oh, as someone from no Mexican or even Latinx heritage.
Really?
Yeah, I've double checked. I've looked. It's highly
offensive.
You were
gatekeeping Latin culture then. I was like, wow, okay. Well, on this pod.
Did you see Bimini's calves?
I did not, but
bursting
I imagine
through those fishnets.
But we're going to put a photo up on the Insta, I imagine. Yeah. Find a lovely image of when sister said that Lawrence was giving Michelle McManus. I thought that reference is niche, but boy, is it fantastic.
We'll put a picture of her up on it.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. After all this time, Ellie was just there.
Yeah, what the hell was the deal with the, what were they called, dragony nieces? Like, why did they jump out from behind the sofa? It's not Mystic Meg, your agony aunt. Like, why are you trying to, like, why are you trying to be scary? And that whole thing was just an absolute mess to me. We'll get to it in the judging, but
I know you're not here for Lawrence, I don't think, but like, I thought Lawrence was, she has the timeless talent of just, she's just fucking funny on stage. She's like Alyssa, not in the same realm as Alyssa, but she, her, the drag persona that she's created is funny. Like, she just has to open her mouth and people laugh and they're engaged, and that's not something you can teach. But like, every time she's on stage, everyone is cracking up, and there's just something about her. It's because she's, it's, I think it's a mixture of like her accent and how ballsy she is with her choices. There's a lot of confidence behind how she speaks in drag, I think, which makes you laugh.
Makes you laugh. Yeah, it just was like a weird Ellie Diamond infomercial. And then, well, I don't know why, when she was painting the smiley face on, she started like up under Lawrence's eye and then sort of did a weird red
so
eye.
Strange,
like, where are you going with
it?
This, ED? This is your chance to get that palette some telly time.
And I really want her to be fantastic because I love the face.
I was just not convinced about that.
Yeah, are you? But I tell you one thing that I know you're going to be convinced about. The Essex girls.
This is the only one that I even smirked at, and I more than smirked. I was out loud laughing, slapping my thigh. The way she said super glue, it was just so good.
And
voice.
But again,
perfect.
I was really surprised. Tia, just very in the background. I really thought she'd come into her own. I thought Uhura's voice was fantastic. There was like another layer to it.
Yeah,
she was just like, sort of like a bit, but she couldn't talk properly.
I think maybe because it's meant to be, she's got so much filler in that she can't. Yeah. When I had my lip filler in, I could feel it stopping me from talking.
Have you had surgery before?
Only on my face and body.
Have you been touched by an angel? I loved the tan detail as well, to see on a suit, just like on the inside of the lapels. There was so much tan. But I thought Tia was good as well. She didn't keep up, unfortunately. I think because it was, like you said, because it was improv, I think she just didn't know how hard Uhura was going to go. Mm. And then she just, she dog walked her a bit, didn't she? Like, she didn't really like...
I think there can never be two funny ones. Like, someone's got to be the, pardon my French, straight man.
Do you think you're the straight man? Because you're not the funny one.
Oh, God.
I've never seen such thing as two pretty best friends. And that's coming from the pretty best friend.
I thought Ginny started off good, but like from when they like, if they're going to just start trying to put her off, why? Like, if they don't care about the narrative, why should she?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that really confuses me about this entire challenge is it was improv, but it can't have been improv that they were chucking things at her. She must have known that they were going to soak her, that they were going to be throwing all of these things at her. I imagine that for some of them, it's completely improv and they're not given anything and they're just right, you'll stand here, you'll be a goth, you'll talk about this or whatever. But then clearly for Ginny, like, they must have given her some warning about what was going to happen. And so it just seemed, that seemed so unfair because the chaos of the scene was given to her. She didn't create the chaos. She wasn't. She didn't ask to have all this shit thrown at her and to be standing in a paddling pool. Were you into the very Rumpelstiltskin glam that she was serving as well? Absolutely mental.
Rumpelstiltskin?
Yeah, it's just like that mental wig and then the caftan, just like the whole, when it first...
I see him as very different, as a little man on his... On his spinning wheel. No, I don't imagine him in a caftan sucking on Himalayan rocks.
It was more just the wild, like, that crimp with absolutely no shape. Just like, literally like a pyramid. Just like straight out. I think it was because it's like corn.
Yeah, maybe. When I think of Rumpelstiltskin, I think of Robert Carlyle, who plays him Once Upon a Time. So really, really not the Ginny.
Very different references. I just said Ginny. It was so bizarre. But when you're coming to a Ginny Lemon show, what are you expecting? I'm not going to be expecting her doing a quick two-step to a Carly Rae Jepsen song. That's what I'm going to want. I'm going to want her standing in a paddling pool having liquids thrown at her.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. Yeah, it was absolutely fucking mental. How did you feel about Sister blaming Veronica for it going badly?
What she was saying, like, if someone is being weird and awkward and also doing the thing that you never do,
you're very from the school though, like, if you can blame someone, blame them.
Not necessarily, but I think if your partner is out here being like, oh, you shouldn't have said that to me, or like making it obvious
off.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck, and that would like throw me. And then yeah, it was obviously like, if sister could have pulled herself out of it, but that didn't really help. I would say it's 35% Veronica.
Oh, okay. She's going fractions.
Yeah.
Is that a fraction?
It's percentage.
Okay, she's going
percentage. I can't do the fraction on that.
Okay, she's going percentage. And then it cuts straight to Lawrence saying, how many times is sister going to fucking blame someone else for being shite? And I thought, ouch.
But I thought, when else did she do that?
I don't know, but like I said, Lawrence says things and people believe it.
Have you got a moment to discuss your follicle challenges?
Is your patience receding quicker than your hairline?
Is your inner light being dimmed by the reflection coming off your shiny bonds?
Hi, this is noted trichologist Dr. Evans, PhD from the University of Hair and Shit. In my extensive knowledge in the hair field, I have found that the most effective way to combat stressful hair loss is custom lace front wigs from Truffle Pig Wigs. They've been providing custom wigs worldwide for over 18 months. And Truffle Pig Wigs can help give you the courage to finally look in the mirror and say, I am enough.
Use code CLIFFHANGERS for 15% off.
That's code CLIFFHANGERS for 15% off.
Side effects may include setting new friends, a lust for life, a hitch in your giddy up, secret admirers, a new love of cooking, a search in a sequoia, effervescence.
It has come to that part again where we shout out another one of our favourite drag businesses, and this week it is Dragged Out London. They are an ever-expanding independent drag store for handmade jewellery, lashes and makeup, and they are based with us here in London. You've seen loads of their stuff on our Season 2 Sisters, and also recently on Her Royal Highness Michelle Visage. Dragged Out are the number one place for gorgeous drag jewels. The new Arena drop earrings are stunning and they are being eaten up across the internet. And also the lashes are well worth checking out. So head over to @DraggedOutLondon on Insta and go show them some love.
It's elimination day.
We are back.
Weirdly, I noticed again that Tia is still supporting Tace at the shoulders. Do they think they make her stand there because she's tall? But surely the tallie should sit
down. That's exactly what I thought. No, exactly what I thought. I thought maybe for the lovely levels, they're like, Tia, you always need to be standing.
And they was like, you're basic, you don't deserve a chair.
Oh, my first thing was saying, sister is having a tough time with that shaving. That was more painful to watch than the mini challenge. Oh, that was, I couldn't believe it. Going in dry, I just thought.
Would you dry shave your face?
Absolutely never.
No.
I thought, you don't love yourself. Not with that razor.
Tearing it up.
I know, it looks so painful. One thing that is just blowing my mind this season is their lack of confidence. It's what I find really interesting is it like really separates in the girls, I think, whose drag character is like an extension of themselves, like someone like Tace, who uses their own name and is clearly like Tace, the drag artist, like really lives within Tace as like a male. Like in a, their male present,
human.
Yeah, like in their male presenting form, like at their male present, like their male presenting form. And then there's a lot of girls this season who clearly their drag character is like a complete escape from their what they're like in real life.
Yeah,
and I thought that that was so sad to see. I mean, it's incredible that they find them, but it was just so sad to see with Sister. Just again, like real open wounds there.
Mm. Yeah, well, they always say, like, not always, but a lot of comedians are, like, depressed, aren't they? So I think it's a lot of...
Yeah.
It happens in the biz.
Laughter is medicine. It does, truly. And I really hate that for her. And I really feel like they've found a real emo bunch this season, which is...
Well, I think the most important thing is that getting the girls to cry and telling a heartbreak story.
100%. Like, you've got 45 seconds.
You have to make sure that the cast are damaged.
Show us your trauma.
Yeah.
But I really thought at this mirror moment, you saw that like there is such a kindness to Uhura.
Mm.
Like regardless of the exterior, she can be icy, sure. But like deep down, she's really, really kind.
Well, she kind of explained why that is, isn't she?
And again, strange that she speaks about Uhura as a secondary person. She's like, when Uhura's with me, I never feel alone. It was like... That she like clearly Uhura for her is like something that exists outside of her. That like, is not like an extension of Jaws.
Well, she says it's everything that she's not that she wants to be, isn't it?
It felt like a healing moment, and you don't get them that much on. It's normally like right, like tell us about your trauma, and like mid while they're like running on stage and stuff. And it felt like she was getting to like properly talk about it and sit down and think about these things on a world stage. Terrifying, terrifying nonetheless.
We are now making our way to the main stage, and the runway this week is Monster Mashup. I'm very excited to do any kind of like Halloween-y.
I was going to say, we should probably say me and Lukey are horror fanatics. We take Halloween very seriously here. So this is very exciting for us.
My first thought was RuPaul. Congrats on the gall and the gumption, but I don't think those shoulders match those hips.
No. What you should be worried about. No, I did the wig though really just offset it all for me. I thought that was, I love her in that white hair. Like hair in platinum hair is really nice.
That lovely ginge that she wears sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe that they wheeled out Lorraine Kelly in Debenhams finest. Like literally, you are on a drag show. They're just about to come down
Julian
the runway.
McDonald's
just about to come down the runway and you're dressed like Jess Glynn outside of Sexy Fish. Like, what was that? Literally just like the most, it was just so, so awful.
Michelle looking gorgeous as per. Probably not even a point bringing it up.
No. I think it's safe to say at this point that you'd think that Michelle is gorgeous.
Yeah. You heard it here first. I'm saying it.
Monster Mashup, what would you do?
Oh, I actually really should have thought of this in advance, shouldn't I? I'm too on the...
Maybe you could do you as you wake up and you before you go to bed.
Maybe. Just gorgeous and gorgeous. I'd probably be told to take that wig off, to be honest.
Probably. I also did not think about this at all, but like I will say that for Monster Mashup, I would love it to be really fucking gory. I need Dragula for this. Like,
I think maybe I would want the one half to be really, really overly gross and then the other half to be something like funny.
So it's just
like a very weird mashup.
Like in House of a Thousand Corpses, the fish boy.
I can't remember.
Oh my God, a fantastic. They would like wheel out this boy and he's on a platter and they've like sewn his bottom half to like the like a trout.
Oh.
So he's like just got a lovely sort of like fish bottom and they call him Fish Boy. I would definitely want to go. I've got a real affinity at the moment in the world of horror to sort of like strange gill reptilian creatures. Yeah, I'd want to do something with gills, something absolutely repulsive, webbed fingers. Kind of reminiscent of, I was very into Aquaria's disgusting sort of like mermaid creature, the oil slick mermaid creature. Something.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Maybe something based off of like a classic freak.
Yeah. Well, I did see that Joe Black was going to do Nosferatu, which is absolutely fucking
I've always wanted to do that. Bald with just like the giant fangs.
Yeah. So good with like the huge long fingers as well.
That's the good thing about, sorry to interrupt, but that's so good about Drag Race these days is that even when people are eliminated, you still get to see what their looks sort of
thing. Yeah, I love it. Shout out to April Carrion for starting that. She was one of the original girls for saying.
I love her so much.
April Carrion. Yeah, absolutely love her. Okay, so first up on the runway, we have Ms. Veronica Green.
She's given us Medusa Pig mashup. I was actually pretty impressed, to be fair. Like, for her, I didn't think that she would go that far with like full on like prosthetics and stuff. I thought she'd be a lot more vanilles than that. So I was quite surprised.
I just thought it was a really confusing way to start what the monster mashup was, because I just thought they didn't go together at all. Like, the
you do get it's a mashup though, right?
Yeah, but like, be smart about it. Like, have two things that marry well together. Like,
oh no, I think it should be like, yeah, like I said, I would want something really gross and something really funny, so it's just like very strange. I'd want it mine to be like a weird mashup.
But you know, they've done this on Dragula, like the mashup of the two creatures. Like, it's two and I just thought the pig was nowhere apart from the nose, and then
she did all this. The skin was meant to be like pigs, like
I just
pig skin.
I wasn't featuring it. I didn't get it. Maybe, to be fair, I'm like deadly scared of snakes, so maybe I just was never going to like anything. Maybe I was never going to like anything with a snake.
Oh, Windy Pops.
Maybe. I said pretty impressive. To be fair, she went ham. Pardon the pun.
Oh, yeah.
Seven truffles.
Seven.
Yeah, I felt like that.
You ain't going to explain yourself to me, not on this pod. It.
And she made the dress and the weird crown thing. Not okay. The Medusa head, there's sort of like a crown on top.
Maybe it's because she was first. I gave her five. I didn't get it at all.
Sure.
And then next up, we have Sister serving Pharaoh Fawcett.
Getting bummed by a wolf.
Yeah.
In her own words.
I thought the padding was very nice on this. She was really serving you curvy girl.
I was about sis, that teeny tiny flaccid little ponytail. Are you absolutely joking?
That was a hot contender for my minger of the week for the wigs. But I thought it didn't actually count as a wig because there was, what, 11 fibres of hair in it?
A bit like a little Barbie ponytail.
There wasn't really enough there for me to go crazy about it. And I have gone really crazy about her looks in the past, but I would have given that a comfortable 6. There just wasn't much.
Yeah, I gave it a 6.5. I really liked how she's like blended out the purple eyeshadow, and I really liked her movement, but it wasn't very original.
She did sell the costume for me, and I thought sell the garment. And I thought the lip was gorgeous, and I wonder whether that's Miss Fame, that gorgeous blue iridescent lip that everyone wears.
Surely that's just her blue glitter that she uses for the circle mouth every time.
And next up, we had Bimini Bombolish.
Bimini Bombolish.
Serving Pamela Manderson.
I just wrote right up my street. All the things I like.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, first of all, you've got your Buffy reference with the prosthetic brow.
And that's one you've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah, you've got, but remember that I'm glad the thing that would hold me back from it, especially doing it on Drag Race, is Crystal did it. Do you remember when she did her weird angle grinder pussy cutting moment?
Yeah.
She's already done it. So at least she painted it red, which was a smart choice. Obviously, Pamela Anderson, Playboy references, the mental hair as well. We'll get into that when they critique the hair.
I gave her 8 truffles. Could have been more extreme and detailed, but loved it.
I gave her 8 truffles. And my only takeaway was I would have loved it if she double stacked the hair, just so that the hair was like huge, like more cartoonish.
Yeah.
Just because I thought the hair was, it didn't bother me at all, but like I thought it would have been even better if the hair was like mental.
Yeah, just like giant, ridiculous.
Yeah. Just fantastic. And next up, we have our Lord and Saviour, Tace.
Bride of Vampenstein. So what can I say? She looked gorgeous, of course, but it was a bit standard. So I gave her 6 truffles.
It was really serving me sort of just like the hottest girl in school taking a pass at a Halloween costume.
Like Legs Avenue, just like a sexy guy. Like, want to still be pretty, but I'll give you Halloween.
But also, what was the mashup? Bride of Frankenstein with what?
Bride of Vampenstein. She had vampire teeth in.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, tenuous. Tenuous at best. I thought she sold it. I thought she gave you that lovely... who is it that comes down the runway in the finale and swishes the dress around and sits down?
Oh, I want to say, like...
Naisha Lopez or something.
Naisha Lopez. Yeah, yeah. Someone like that comes down and just like does a lovely sort of sit down. It's very, very pageant-y. I thought, like you said, just echoing all of that, that was a lovely wig chapel as well, that wig. Mm. Which I think a lot of, not all, but a lot of her wigs are. I thought it was, yeah, overall, it did the job. I would have given it 7.
But what will you give it?
I will give it 7. Okay. I'll give it 7.
So next, Ms. Ginny giving you toxic, bitter, viral lemon.
A bitter lemon giving you biohazard kaftan. I loved it.
Where is the mashup is what I was thinking.
Absolutely. It made no sense. It wasn't a monster. There was no mashup. Really holding everyone else to a completely different standard to I Dream of Ginny here. But I don't care.
Well, I gave her 4.
Fight me. You gave her 4.
Yeah, I couldn't see a mashup.
Is that your lowest?
No, I gave her 2 last week.
Always low for Ginstar.
Give me a sewing challenge and I'll give you what you like.
I loved it. She needs to send them jelly shoes a cease and desist because they've
She's got microfibralgia or spur.
I know, but the jelly shoes, I'd rather she came down in a flat. She could just come down in a lovely orthopedic shoe or something.
Just one of the legs chunkier than the other.
Yeah.
I imagine that the gel has got a kind of nice bit of
a bit of bounce to it. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I mean,
like when chefs wear like clogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, safety first. All I care about is keeping our dear sweet Ginsters safe. But I do think it was. I think it was like old Teef. What's his name? Alan Carr pointed out. just maybe not black.
Yeah.
Imagine, it really popped with a nice bright yellow.
I know she's got them.
Yeah,
well.
You know it.
She wanted to tie in the whole biohazard logo. I get it.
100%. I did really like, I rarely like Michelle's comments on the runway, but I did really like, does anyone still wear a hazmat? Yeah. I thought that was great. So how much, you gave Ginstar?
Quattro.
I will give her 6.
Okay.
Just because I love her and I don't care.
That is fine.
Yeah. Now, next up, we have Lawrence Cheney.
He's given us Sweeney Todd. He's given us Bride of Frankenstein. He's given us Silence of the Lambs. He went for the triple.
I have thoughts.
Okay, go on then.
I wasn't here for it.
You have one thought.
I have one thought. And that is it for this month. I just thought it was all a bit unclear. I thought the face wasn't well painted. I thought she looked, I mean, it was nothing new. It wasn't like an exciting face, but I thought of all the things, her face looked okay. And I did like the sort of Gucci-esque head hanging off the arm. I just didn't think it did anything.
When she turned the corner, I was like, okay, there you go. There's someone who has put together an outfit properly.
Sure. It's well
very into the Ed Gein. I believe that is the pronunciation. Ed Gein.
Yeah.
Just like body parts, skin apron. Yeah, I thought that was sick. Yes, would be very into some kind of weird.
But where was the monster mashup?
So Silence of the Lambs.
That's not a monster. I mean, sure, a psychological moment. I just thought, I thought it was like not.
And then she was Bride of Frankenstein. She had the face of that. She had like.
She's Bride of Frankenstein.
Yes, she had the wig, same wig as Tace, which she did herself. Maybe better. I don't know. I didn't see anything.
Okay, I didn't catch any of these references.
On her like jawline, she had all like stitches and stuff for Frankenstein.
Oh, I thought she'd just drawn on. I thought she just because she was a larger queen, she was sort of trying to contour on her.
Oh no, like the face, yeah, she had like really good like stitches. I thought in quite like good placement.
Oh my god,
well.
Are you now a Lawrence Cheney stan? Look
no,
at you
I'm
riding
just doing
hard
the
for
work
her.
And reviewing the show.
Listen, I'm doing the work. I just didn't get any of these references.
You've seen it 3 times.
I know, this is not what I saw though. Like, and if they're not that clear, then they're not that clear.
She had all like the blood splatters, which was the Sweeney Todd on her.
I mean, a reach.
That was a reach.
Blood,
that was like the third
blood
one.
Is Sweeney Todd.
I definitely
Todd.
Got the Silence of the Lambs meets Bride of Frankenstein.
Sure.
Yeah, and I gave her 8.
What?
Oh, just bug off!
Oh my god, I would have gone 6. No, 6, 7.
Will you go?
I will go.
Oh, attention.
The tension. I will go 7. I absolutely loved with Lawrence when Rue went, "What is it you can't face?" Do you know what the reference is?
No.
Oh my god, so in there was this whole thing that was going around because in The Sound of Music, Mother Superior says to Maria, she goes, "What is it you can't face?" But the way that she says it is, everyone hears, "What is it, cunt face?" It's like, "What is it, you cunt face?" And it was just, I thought it was a really fucking funny, because it was a viral moment. It's just very strange to think of Rue on the interwebs.
She's got earpieces on, don't you worry about
truly.
It.
Truly.
She's dial up on a Nokia.
She actually has no idea where the reference is from or what it is. She's just like. And then we move on to the diamond that shines oh so bright. It's Miss Ellie. What did you think?
Well, she said she's given us goblin / werewolf, but then she later went on to say her dad's a troll and her mum is a beast. So mixed messages, mixed medium. First thing I thought was when they made the joke about Michelle was like, "I hope this one is a prosthetic nose." Oh, Lorraine, why are you laughing? You don't get the joke. You ain't in on it.
I'm willing to bet she's never seen Drag Race before.
No.
She's like, "Oh, this man that dresses up as a woman wants me to come be on the show." Like,
she just Googled gay and seen Glory Hole and thought, "That'll do,
She just asked Phillip Schofield. She was like, "Is there something for the gays?"
But moving on to Ellie Diamond, I did notice it's the return of the peekaboo puss.
Oh, love. And I absolutely loved the face, obviously. That is just, it's like you talking about Michelle just every single week. It's like, what a face.
I couldn't get over her face. Just like,
gorgeous.
Just the sort of like subtle blending and just like the little like freckles and stuff. Did you ever have the book Fungus the Bogeyman?
Did I have Fungus the Bogeyman? I love it. That's like one of my number one favorite children's books.
I really love it. But yeah, it's giving me very like Fungus's girlfriend. I thought, absolutely. The makeup was like Shrek on the main stage. In the West End somewhere.
Oh, lovely. 70s Shrek glam. The one thing I did put, though, is I felt like it was very strange construction on the garment.
Well, I'm not a fan of the peekaboo purse. You're not. I didn't like the outfit.
I just thought that, like, the construction of it, like, was she wearing sort of, like, brown fun fur chaps?
Yeah.
So, like, for whomst? For why?
Not very practical for your... for your bogeyman.
It just seemed like a lot of convoluted ideas. I love how we've now decided that because we thought it was fungus that she was a bogeyman. That was her monster.
Well, she doesn't even know what she was.
But I did love the narration. She went hard on that narration and she was just chatting.
Yeah,
much like this podcast.
I gave her a 6 for the makeup.
I gave her a 7.
I mean, no, I would have rated her higher just for the makeup alone.
But what did you rate her?
Well, I rated her a 6 because the makeup brought it up. Otherwise, clothes alone, it could have been like a 4 or a 5.
Okay. And then straight on through to Ms. Tea or Coffee.
The question doth still remain.
Truly. I just put the first thing is this. Every single costume she does gives me such intense LARP energy. Just like, she always just looks like sort of like someone that is getting dressed up to go to a convention.
So yeah, she was giving us Medusa / skeleton / voodoo priestess.
I mean...
Again, I gave her, I guess because I have low bar for people like her and Veronica, so I was impressed with the makeup.
I put the best thing yet, but the bar is the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I gave her like a 6, I guess. I might actually review that and give it a 5. Yeah. It was just very off.
I just thought as well, like, yeah, a very obvious mashup, but I just thought, like, how are you going to do a skeleton face and not even do that well? Like, that is not makeup. That is face paint, honey. That is just like, you can just trace a skull from a picture onto your face. Like, I think personally, especially on the runway, if you're doing face paint, as opposed to like, there was no carving of the face. There was no like eye detail. So if you're going to do that, at least make the face paint good. Because otherwise, like that, I really feel like she could have done that face in 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, like, where is the detail? Because if someone else has made that costume, what are you bringing to the runway? Audacity is what you're bringing to the runway. So I went 5 on that, but I could go lower. And then next up we have It's a Horror. We should probably say at this point that we did the wig for this.
I was literally screaming my head off.
It's really strange, isn't it? I thought it was going to be exciting, but then I thought it's a really bizarre feeling to have like contributed. I mean, obviously we're not taking any credit for it, but just contributed in any tiny way to an outfit that you think is good. Because even aside from if we hadn't done that wig, it was definitely my number one. I really loved the look. Mm-hmm. And especially with like the neck and the waist corset from Misty Couture, which is like obviously just like so, like all of Misty's work, like all of that corsetry is so sublime. Go check out Misty Couture if you don't know. Yeah, I just thought that there were so many elements to it that were so fucking fantastic. So to just have contributed that and to such a beloved queen is just, that was very special.
I thought it's hilarious though. Like, this couldn't have happened to anyone else. So literally, she's in our wig for like 3 seconds, and then it comes off, and literally everyone's like, oh, thank God she took that wig off.
We are currently working on a bitch track that is just clips of them being like, thank God you took that wig off. Thank God you took, that's going to be our new sort of like sales pitch. Like,
but we were actually, because obviously we knew that we had a wig, maybe others,
who knows,
coming up on the show. We were hoping that we were going to get some amazing soundbite of RuPaul or someone just being like,
wig
what
is
the
trash.
Hell is that disgusting wig? And that would literally be like the slogan on all of our merch.
Yeah,
and
there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah,
and especially if it's coming from one of the judges. Ideally, it would have been bad, to be honest. Because we knew the whole sort of narrative of the outfit when she ordered, but so we knew it was going to come off. But it was just so fucking jokes that all of the judges were just like, it was Alan Carr, which is like, oh. When you took that wig off, I thought, thank God. So love that. Hopefully, if we do have any other wigs on the rest of the season, hopefully they stay on. To me, I thought that was the only look really that had sort of like progression. And I liked that it had that big reveal. It was smart. And that to me was a proper mashup.
So what did you give it?
I gave it 9.
Oh, I gave it a 10.
That's a 10.
I would have given it a 10, but I didn't want to because I thought it seemed a bit cringe coming, considering that we did the wig.
I don't give a fuck. That's why I'm giving it a 10.
Oh, okay. I'll give it a 10 too. 10 all around.
10 for the gals.
It was absolutely fucking fantastic. And shout out to Ahura, Angel. So then we head on to the critiques as the tops and bottoms are revealed.
Yes, so the safe queens are Tace, Ellie and Tia, and they are off backstage for some unchucking.
So, yeah, how did you feel about the critiques and what was said?
Well, first, I just wish that Sister's earrings were facing the right way.
Oh.
I hate that so much. When you see someone's wearing like a hoop earring or something and it's like sideways. Like, why will no one tell them to twist their
hair? Yeah, innit? Lorraine Kelly, no gay ally. Mm-mm. She could have just pointed it out. She's on the telly. I am really starting to lose my fucking patience with Bimini looks too unpolished and rough around the edges. Like, shut up. It's just, I'm sorry, I just don't think it's a valid critique. What you're talking about is that she doesn't serve polished, pageanty drag in the way that you like. And sometimes I think that these judges, like, because Alan Carr is not from a drag background, and then Michelle and Rue are from the American drag background, I think that they had a really fucking great chance to put someone on the judging panel like Jodie Harsh, for example, who is free and willing and ready to go on, like someone who had a real understanding of like London drag and how it's just like not about that, like it's about performance and it's about like conceptual looks that maybe have like more of a fashion eye than like a polished like pageanty eye. And I just like, it really pisses me off every week, because I think if there's one person that's consistently serving like great looks, it's Bimini. So for her to be like called like rough around the edges is just bullshit.
I don't know, like there could have been some a bit more like dimensions on the face and on the prosthetic. Like you said with Tia, I felt like it was very flat red with black.
How dare you compare her to Tia's makeup? Tia's makeup was done in less than 10 minutes. She had a prosthetic on, like 50% of her face was taken up by a prosthetic that she had put on her face. Like
but she didn't like, there was no like shading in the creases. It was just like, that's painted block red and then there's black lines on it. Like it could have been taken up a few notches, but she was in the top. They just have to give her a critique, didn't they?
Like, yeah, I wasn't... sure. And them saying that you like, it was just like the critiques that they did give, being like, oh, like you lose the eye under, she's got like a prosthetic brow on. Like it doesn't have to be her being like, oh, you need to put eyelashes on. It's like, it doesn't need to be a glam monster. Like Tia didn't have eyelashes on.
But so here I'm playing the devil playboy advocate.
Oh my God, please play the straight man advocate. See, you are the straight man.
She is, she's a playboy bunny. Playboy bunnies would have lashes on, but actually, as we know, they're now called cum umbrellas, as found out this week.
God, tell us a bit of queer history.
That I don't know if it's queer, thank you very much, trying to claim everything, but a lovely prostitute.
Wow, did everyone hear that? Did all the queer ears hear that? Nasty. Say it. I was shouting over it.
In 18 something or so, a prostitute invented false eyelashes to prevent the semen from falling into her eyes, coining the phrase cum umbrellas. So she wasn't wearing cum umbrellas, no. She
could have been. I don't know.
And she has since worn them on her photo shoot that she
posts sure. on Instagram. Sure, sure, I'm sure she's like, yeah, I probably could have worn a lash.
I just think as well, as someone that constantly complains about this, yes, I'm looking at you, Luki, as someone that constantly complains about this in a photo shoot, that the wig is pulling down your eyelashes, that prosthetic brow, I don't think they would have been able to fit eyelashes in there. I think they would have had them weird sort of like sad panda eyes because the eyelashes would have been pushed down.
Well, she managed to deal with that fine in the photo shoot that I just spoke about, didn't she? I felt they were overly harsh on Ginny Lemon.
Do you think? What bit did you think was overly harsh?
Well, just basically them saying that she was a mess and she didn't do the weather reporting. She was a mess because you were fucking chucking shit at her.
Yeah, and you didn't care
that Lawrence and Ellie did a really half-hearted agony aunt thing. It just turned into a makeup demo. Like, you don't care about that, but... yeah, she's got like two things going against her and you're kicking her while she's down.
Yeah, and I didn't think that, considering the mess that Veronica and Sister brought to the studio, like, I didn't think that Ginny's was even comparable. Ginny's was weird, but like, what are you expecting?
Ginny's was entertaining.
Yeah.
Theirs
was
just like, boop.
Just one level, yeah, it was so boring. I put the audacity must be on sale at the critique that they gave to Uhura. I was foaming at the mouth. Saying that, like, she looks too glam. It's like, she's got contacts in, she's got her brain exposed, she's got like horror makeup on, but then you're standing next to Lawrence, who is literally just like in glam.
Yeah.
Like, Lawrence, I'm sorry, like, Lawrence was literally just dressed up as like a matron and they'd stuck like that face on a couple of ears. Nothing about her look, apart from some Smithy's blood splattered on her, really gave me like...
I mean, the blood was rhinestoned. It was stoned.
Did you stone their blood? I just thought
Am I stoned?
Yeah. There's such inconsistency in the judging. I mean, it's a cuss to Lawrence, really. You're basically saying because she looks gorgeous, she doesn't look spooky enough. But it's like, Lawrence doesn't look spooky at all. There's no monster in what Lawrence has brought to the runway. So it was just really annoying me because I just feel like if there's one thing I can't take, it's when it's not fair.
Yeah. It's really annoying so me how baby. Obvious... RuPaul is bumming Lawrence, and if you are maybe not familiar with that term, I don't mean to call it scandals bumming. That they are having anal sex. I mean that RuPaul is just fucking licking her ass, sucking up, obsessed.
I just think, yeah, I just found it annoying because I just think, like, and this is in no way tearing down what Lawrence did, because I'm not saying that Lawrence's was shit at all, but it's just like, it just seems so often that in their critique, it's just one rule for one person. It's like they don't have anything to say, so they just try and come up with something, and it's one rule for one person, one rule for another. So I don't know. I was getting pissed off at the critiques with Uhura. I mean, pissed off, that's very strong. I just... And then we head over to Untucked, which, oh, the heart do break. My poor Ginny Lemon. Mm. Considering that she did that challenge and she thought, this is my one, I do improvisational comedy, I'm going to do well at this. And they were like, nah, that was shit. That she's like, well, it's only going to get worse from here.
Mm. I was very obsessed with Tace's little lisp that she had from those teeth. Now, that is the vulnerability that we are looking for.
Look, she's like a real person. Mm. Look at her, speech impediment.
I thought it was quite interesting that they, so the three of them backstage, like, who do you think will go home? And they all said Veronica, but they only ever said one person. They all sit in on the fence to say who else would be in the bottom. They just sort of bypassed that and were like, Veronica's in the bottom.
Well, what I love to know is that they didn't say like who will be lip syncing. They said who will go home, which seems like you're bypassing a whole part of the show.
Yeah, like doesn't matter who you're against because they're going to beat
you. Yeah, she's the worst. Yeah, which is why I think she got super hot, didn't she?
I would though.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course you
would. I was like, oh, Veronica's had it up to here.
Yeah. What about when Sister was like, Veronica's Drag Race, it's dead boring. True. But yeah, she really... Do you know one thing I really wasn't here for? Let me tell you one thing I wasn't here for.
Tell me.
When Uhura tried to step in with, again, trying to be nice, but I just people aren't here for it really, are they? Trying to step in and then she was like, actually, do you know what? Like, I think I'll just do whatever what it is I've been doing because it's really been working for me. And she was like, wow, I was really trying to help you because everyone's coming for you. Like,
won't bother with that again.
Yeah. But I'm kind of glad this whole thing did happen because it meant I didn't have to deal with any more Ginny Lemon heartbreak. She was just sat in the corner, just so sad the whole time. And I was like, okay, we're focusing on something else. That's
such
good.
A shame to see the gals down, isn't it?
I know. But this fight or flight moment from when like other people are coming for you and you clearly feel vulnerable is like, it really shows your true colours. We've got to watch out for that. Because that's the moment when people like Alaska or something, like you're like, ooh, wow, she doesn't take
she's
this
unhinged.
Well. Yeah. So that's a real... and I really thought that Uhura again was really showing, she was really heartfelt and really soft in this moment. She was really trying to help the girls because I think maybe that came from the confidence of being safe and feeling like she might win maybe. And then we head back onto the stage to find out the winner.
Very rude. I mean, really feeling for Miguel Ahora. I thought that was obvious in the bag.
There has been a robbery.
I was gagged and gooped that Veronica was safe.
Oh, my God.
She hot-stepped it down that runway so fast, like she thought they might change their mind.
Yeah, I mean, you would, wouldn't you? I can't believe that Lawrence won. It, like, the situation that transpires meant that this decision was made for us. But, like, I was really feeling super scared because that could have... Because Veronica wasn't in the bottom, that could have been two of our favourites.
Mm.
And Veronica staying after that shit show, it's too scary. And it's getting to the point now where it's just, like, really, it's leaving some good girls. And I'm just so scared that one of my front runners is going to go and then I'm going to be throwing hands.
One of your front runners has gone.
I know.
Cost you my back to old Valentino.
Oh, I know. Miss you, Cherry. And I was kind of, I was annoyed that Lawrence won, if I'm honest, because I really thought that Hora had it in the bag. And I just thought she really served a fantastic outfit in her. So.
Yeah, I really thought the two goths should have been in the bottom together.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's head on to this lip sync, Lukey.
I think Tay said it best when she was like, well, Ginny's Ben de la Creme herself.
My favourite thing about the whole lip sync is just the smile on Ginny's face. Like when she sort of like did her high priestess moment and just like lifted her hands up in the air, head back. And then when her head came down, she was just like beaming. And she was just like, when she was like, look, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want. It's punk and that's me. And I was like, I was literally in my head. I was like, do it.
Yeah, it must have been like very like freeing to just be like...
Yeah.
And a fuck you.
And the demonic laugh that she let out as she left. I need you to tell me. We haven't actually spoken about this properly, so I need you to tell me, Lukey. What are your thoughts on Ginny Lemon walking?
Ginny Lem gone. I've watched it twice. The first time we had some secret squirrels tell us that she was gonna walk at some point. But I didn't think it was going to be at this point, weirdly. So even though I was expecting it, I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be later on as well.
Yeah, after the second watch, I kind of thought, do you know what? If Ginny's at peace with how she left and she feels like good about everything that went down and it means that sister's here to fight another day, like if the gals are happy, I'm happy. I think.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel. We're kind of, because of the high stakes and dramatic nature of it, we're really fed this narrative that like, if anyone, what Ben de la Creme did was like incredibly disrespectful and how dare someone take up a place in Drag Race and then leave of their own volition, which I just think is fucking bullshit because it's a TV show and it's literally people dressing up and walking down a 10-foot piece of stage. Like it's so ridiculous. And yeah, I'm just totally with you. Like Ginny just, it was fun until it was no longer fun. And then she wanted to go and she didn't want to be put in a situation where she possibly took out. I feel like Ginny could have really pulled a fantastic lip sync out of the bag and she might have kicked sister off.
Mm.
And sister, I don't think there were other people that were more deserving to be in the bottom. So maybe she's like, do you know what? In this situation, if you're in the bottom and you don't deserve to be, I'm sure as hell not going to be the one that gives you the boot out. And
especially like, we've just seen, well, they very craftily showed us with editing and production that those two have formed a very, very close bond. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't want to have to be up against you. If I can take one for the team and then we both are happy with the result, then why wouldn't I?
And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because it just takes the power away from the whole show. Mm. That's what I find. Like we uphold, well, we,
they.
People, the, no, people, people uphold RuPaul as this deity, as this godlike figure, and actually like it reminds you that the queens really do have the power in this whole situation. Like Ginny made a decision about her fate in the competition and went. Mm. And it's like it makes it all seem a bit silly after someone does that. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like it really takes the kind of like high stakes out of it. Like,
yeah, for
this,
sure.
This is a game show. You're not even winning 100k here.
Yeah, it's literally. And then what I find so funny about it is then like so often with these lip syncs, I'm like digging my own nails into my skin, being like, oh my God, this is so tense. What is going to happen? And then because Ginny had gone, like sister fighting for her place just seemed so ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? It was like, again, like there's no stakes here. Like, so like a grown man throwing themselves around the floor, like to try and stay, all of that just seems so comedic. Cause it was like, oh, you're fine. They've actually just left. They've grabbed their shit and they've gone. So it just seems...
I really liked how, like, ridiculous. Michelle and everyone Like, because obviously, like, if you're doing the lip sync, you're meant to be battling, and then someone walks out, you would be fucking, like, thrown. So for Michelle and everyone to be, like, singing along hyping her up, I thought that was so good.
Banger of a song as well.
Yeah, and I thought, like, she must have had a moment in her mind when it went from, shit, what's going on, to, like, oh, my God, I've got a unique chance to just, like, showcase me, and everyone's, like, all those judges are looking at only me for this 3.5 minutes. Yeah, yeah. Like, you fucking, like, make the most of that.
Do you think she did showcase herself well?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There was something so, like, frenetic and, like, masculine. She was, rather than, like, punk, she was, like, she reminded me of someone at, like, a gig, just, like, going fucking hard. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked her kind of weird mummy zombie movement.
Yeah, and, like, she really went around. Oh, my God, I saw a tweet that was like, wow, sister moving about this stage more than Dua Lipa in lockdown. but, yeah, I really liked how she, like, used all of the stage, and she just, like, she obviously, I saw her tweet that she was, like, I actually didn't realize that Ginny had walked until about halfway through. And then you can kind of see that once she realizes she's on her own, she's like, right, I've got to, like, commandeer this entire performance area. And then she just goes ham. And I liked that. And I just love when it cut to Ginny, like, afterwards. She don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's all I care about is that the gals are happy.
Yeah. And everyone did seem, there was like a real, like, when it was kept on cutting to the girls at the back, there seemed like a real, like, collective sort of, like, it wasn't sad. It wasn't a sad moment. They were like, wow, Ginny's gone. Like, Ginny was unhappy and she's gone. And
good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just like Taste being like, obviously Taste and Ginny are friends, just being like, wow, like, Ginny's just done it. She's gone.
Yeah, toodles.
Like, one thing that we should point out, all of the bullshit about Ginny Lemon sticking her finger up and swearing at RuPaul, telling him to fuck off and leaving, that was floating around in the press, is completely fabricated. It was just done.
Well, yeah, because watching it doesn't seem like there would be any chance for that to happen. I've assumed that someone along the way has been like, wow, she really told RuPaul to fuck off with her actions, and then that's got misconstrued as she sat there and went, RuPaul, swivel on this.
Yeah, I think it was just to help press for the show, to be honest. I think that it seemed respectful, it seemed chill. Like she said, she was like, I'm doing this for no one but me. Like, I just thought it wasn't that moment at all. So to try and sell it as like some, it's just such a boring trope to try and sell it. Mm-hmm. Bitchy drag queen saying, fuck off, like, get over it. She was just like, I'm no longer happy here. I'm going to exit. And it was just, and it was a moment, and it was real. That was TV. Come on the BBC.
That was TV.
It
yes.
was TV.
Next week, it's Corona time.
Corona time. I absolutely crying that they just made coronavirus look like a mini challenge. They're like, oh, now, and now we're going to, it was just so funny, wasn't it? Apparently there's an episode of like what they did when they get home. Like, showing the remaining girls in lockdown, apparently.
God, talk about a filler episode. Yeah. This is me just
sitting
going
at
to
home,
the shop.
Yeah, yeah, making some banana bread. So, Miss Lukey Luck, can we talk about season 3 Dreamcast?
My season 3 Dreamcast of the week would be Sminty Drop. I don't know if
you love Sminty.
I don't know if that is their full name or just the Instagram handle. Maybe it's just Sminty. But she is House of Kendall. All those Manchester gals, they just look so gorgeous. They've all just got the super snatch faces, ridiculous hair, teeny tiny little waists, and I love them all. Go on Instagram and look at Sminty Drop, and that face will literally make you want to kill yourself. In a good way.
Yeah, for sure. My season 3 Dreamcast is the drag ghoul and dark DJ herself. It is our girl, Minxy.
Now,
Minxy is a professional goth.
I am a professional goth.
And just absolutely love her. Love her aesthetic. Everything she does is so polished. She is a Truffle Pigs girl.
She's the OnlyFans as well. So go and give her some money.
Yes, please. Now go and support the motherfucking girls. And yeah, love her drag. Very exquisite and such a good painter. Her face is always immaculate.
That eyeliner, sharp as you like.
Oh, immaculate. So yeah, would love to see. I'm not sure she'd love to be on Drag Race, to be honest. But
I'm not sure they'd have her, to be honest.
Just love to see them on a world platform. Okay, let's talk Rose and Thorn of the week. Okay, I'm going to go for my Rose first. My Rose was the softening of a horror, and that then leading on to the friendship with Tia. I just thought it was so nice. Like, she obviously has been painted as a bit of a villain, and she's like very outspoken. The northern accent it can be very cutting. And I just really loved that.
I've earned my diva-ship.
100%. And my Thorn was the goth bit. I listen, as someone who was a hardened goth through their youth, I just don't like to see our community represented that way. I felt it was disrespectful.
Yes, I agree. That was also my
your thought as well.
Yeah.
As a
so like, in what world would that have worked? Like, they're just setting them up for a fail just to like have some weird link in for no reason. My rose was that our fucking wig was on the telly, bitch.
Yeah, that was very cute for us. That was our first Drag Race UK wig. So that was a real moment for us. We've only been going 18 months. So that's a nice little, that was a little humble brag, wasn't it? Only been going 18 months. And then our final segment of Cliffhangers, we're going to talk wigs, the zinger and the minger. What was your zinger of the week?
It was our wig that was on the telly.
No, I didn't want to, obviously that was the true zinger. But I went two different ones. I really, really liked Ellie's main stage wig. Just like this sort of like triple stack brown and the lovely chocolate brown. And then I also loved Tace's Morning Glory, which I believe is a Stephen Austin sort of human hair, purple pink number. Just thought that is them colours on that face. Come on. And then what was your minger of the week?
It was a hardcore tie between the pathetic
ponytail
and the flashbacks of one of our first yellow cribs that we did. Just both of them left me very uneasy.
Oh, luckily they've been deleleted from the internet, so there's no visual. Maybe we'll pop that on the we'll pop that on the marquee on the Insta. My minger was Lawrence's Michelle McManus weird, strange, like bob hair. It was just like, I feel like maybe she rustled that up in the workroom very quickly.
Just to go back again, they're talking about her outfit. Like, who's wearing a sequin asymmetric like gown on breakfast TV?
Michelle McManus.
No, she'd be wearing a lovely long sleeved t-shirt and some jeans.
Jeans and a nice top.
Finally. One of our listeners has actually messaged in for said shout out. So hold tight, Maggie, inside the ride. Thanks for listening, chick. Sorry, I hate chick so much. Thanks for listening, babe. And again, please, we are sick of the sight of each other and sick of each other's opinions. If you've got anything to say that you can add, please let us know, or just more shout outs.
And also thanks for the lovely reviews on the reviews on the podcast as well. We've had a lot of really nice reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you're listening in and you're liking it, if you don't like it, then keep it to yourself. But if you are liking it, then head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a review. Join the legions of fans. And I think that's all we've got time for this week.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week.